Blog Talk Radio.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Rob just got back from NAMM and is sick as a dog. Apparently everyone at NAMM gets sick. They call it NAMM Frax. Poor Alex Skolnick, of course he gets sick as soon as Obamacare gets repealed. Rest in peace. And now, here's the Metal Injection Livecast.
Alex Skolnick is alive and well, he's fine.
He's definitely got health insurance.
Are you saying that was fake news?
Fake news, Bland. Fake news, period.
Rob, welcome back from NAMBLA.
Yeah. No, I wasn't at NAMBLA.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
That's next week.
There's no scheduling conflict, correct?
But, yeah, no, I just got back from NAMM at Anaheim.
It's the
National Association of Music Merchants.
Wow.
It was a business trip. You know, it's not... There was some fun to be had. I can't say there wasn't fun. There were definitely
some
parties.
In a hot tub.
It's business trip.
Oh, that's... Well, look, hey, when you stay at the luxurious Castle Inn and Suites, which is a motel in shape, designed like a castle...
Do you just like going to places with a castle in their name, like Spa Castle?
Sure, I feel like I am undeclared royalty, so yes.
Thanks.
By the way, it's the Metal Injection Livecast.
Oh, by the way.
I don't know. If you're just tuning in.
Yeah. Which, I mean, so are we.
If you somehow started the show 55 seconds in or whatever.
Phone, I can't get the slider to go all the way to the left, so I'll just start in like at 20 seconds on a video because of my phone case.
Well, that's you.
Well, someone else
now.
Might have the same problem.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Oh, this is the Metal Injection Livecast. I'm Rob. That was Jaron, who has the phone problem.
Hi.
Also, we have Noah.
Rob likes castles.
And Sid.
Hello.
And joining us today is Christina, Noah's
hey.
Roommate. Hey, welcome from the
thank you.
Jay Thomas Show. Can I say that?
Very
is that?
You said it right, yeah.
Am I pronouncing
can
that
I,
correct?
Can I say, yes, physically you can
am I,
say
am I physically
it.
Able
you
to say it? Well, it's
can,
been a rough week.
You did.
It's
been a rough week.
Yeah, right.
How metal am I? Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you how metal I am.
Go ahead.
I got a tetanus shot upon arriving
cool.
in the United States of America
the
other day.
That's
so
pretty
I
metal.
Just, yeah, I wanted to share my metalness.
It gets a little bit more metal than that, Christina.
I
stitches involved.
An escalator ate my toe.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, like, at the bottom of it, and I'm very lucky to still have my toe.
Oh,
I have five stitches underneath my toe.
Which toe?
The third one. My third little piggy. Look at this boot they gave me. Mamamity's Hospital, where I was born, by the way. They took me right
me
in, and they were like, oh, welcome home.
Jesus.
Yeah, you guys, it's rough going. But I felt really metal, and so I wanted to...
Oh, that's your stitches popping.
That would have been so weird if you had a missing middle toe.
I know.
That would have almost been like your foot was giving the metal horns.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's the most metal part.
Yeah, it's fucked up, you guys. Anyway, so yeah.
Is there a lawsuit pending?
No, but the cop there was like, here's the case number in case you want to sue
the board authority.
No, and then my friend works for this company that installs these, and he's like, "Oh, people sue us all the time." And so now I'm, you know, my wheels are spinning. But who's got money to sue people? That's
you
the
don't.
Thing.
Most of these lawyers, they don't get anything unless you win the case.
Just wait for a commercial
break. Pro bono for five stitches on a baby toe. I really don't feel like
you'll get something. It might not be $1 billion, but you get a few grand.
If you watch Maury, just wait for the ad.
Yeah.
And there's a million of those.
Jacoby and Myers, are they still a thing? They'll hook you up.
Whites and Luxembourg. You're a white.
They'll help you. That's how that works.
Right? I don't know if you noticed, but I am a tan. I am not necessarily a white anymore. It's good to see you guys, though.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, good to see you too, alive.
Alive
well.
And all
I'm
my
barely
toes.
Alive. But I have a fun name story.
Okay.
We'll be the judges.
Okay, fair enough.
You lost a toe in an escalator. You just didn't want to one-up Christina.
No, he found a toe.
I actually found it, which is weird because I was in Anaheim. That was weird.
It kept spinning and spinning.
It went through the toe vortex and wound up on the west coast.
Well, the most interesting thing about NAMM is seeing musicians working the floor as reps for some of these companies. So if you're not familiar with NAMM is, it's a convention for, you know, musical instruments and gear companies kind of show off their gear. It's a very business oriented con type. It's like Comic Con, but for music nerds without the cosplay and just booze and booze of gear porn.
Right. If Comic Con wasn't any fun at all.
It's a private event. What its actual purpose is buyers from all over the world, buyers of gear, like guitar stores or music instrumentation stores or websites, come and they see the gear and they decide how much they want to order for the year. That's what the underlying purpose of it is. Then it suddenly there's this party aspect to it and there's signings and stuff to kind of – everyone's trying to – whip their dick out and be like, oh, we have the biggest dick here. This is how fancy
our... What does that have to do with
is.
Instruments? I don't understand.
The hot tub.
I think you went to the wrong convention, Rob.
Oh, wait a minute.
I thought you were talking about war at first. I was like, you went to NAMM? What?
Yeah. Well, there's probably a few vets there.
Lost my toe back in NAMM.
Really, the only difference between Comic-Con and NAMM is like more V-necks. There's more V-necks at
And ponytails.
But not
sure.
That many. Not that many more. a little more.
So,
more dudes in V-necks.
So a good amount of musicians also work as reps for these companies. Sometimes they work as A&R guys to recruit people, you know, to be endorsed.
And they definitely work more than 8 hours a day. Right?
It's an 8 hour.
Oh. It's just schmoozing.
Yeah, but then they got to go play at night and stuff.
But that's their passion.
Overworked.
That's the love of their life.
Trying to make a point that they're overworked.
They're not, though.
Who are you to
who are you? I am the common man. Donald Trump said America is for me now. I am the common worker.
Trump's America.
Yeah. Damn elitist in the arts.
So,
he ain't working.
You miserable, mediocre nothing.
The oddest one was going to the Dean Guitars booth and seeing David Vincent, formerly of Morbid Angel, presently of I Am Morbid.
Was he spinning any tunes or DJing?
No, he is an A&R rep for Dean Guitars. So it's David Vincent, but he has a black button down and black pants, cowboy boots, because he's a cowboy, and a vest. So he's like pretty, he's David Vincent formal wear.
That's weird. Did the companies make them do that? Like, they can't just dress as them. Isn't the whole appeal that that's the guy from that band that looks like a certain way?
Because it doesn't really, like, the point of it is not to, he's not there to be like, I'm David Vincent from Morbid Angel. Mm-hmm. He's David Vincent from Dean Guitars.
But the only reason he's David Vincent from Dean Guitars is because he's David Vincent from Morbid Angel.
That's why he got the job, sure, but he's not there to be on, quote unquote. He's there to interact with musicians who are clients of the company.
He's there to sell guitars.
And recruit. So
I heard he was going to unveil his new slow jams career. Did you hear about this?
Well,
he's going to be called Morbid D'Angelo.
Well, he is doing country music now. We can queue up a little. We can queue up a little bit of that.
Oh my god!
Really?
So the funniest thing is we had a meeting with him. And so the rep, who was a really nice guy, took us back to the offices behind the showroom. And so he opens the door, and the first image I see is on a couch, David Vincent sitting there with a laptop in his lap, looking so professional. And I don't know why, but just the glow of the laptop on David Vincent's face is the funniest thing ever to me. Just like seeing him in that kind of business-esque environment. I'm like, this is David Vincent of Morbid Angel.
Right.
I mean, he was on like Brazzers.com, though. So not fully professional.
No way. He was reading Metal Injection and commenting.
He's calling Rob a lib cunt.
Yeah.
So, so it's funny, though, because when we interviewed David Vincent here on the Metal Injection livecast, we joked that how come he would never tour with Wu-Tang Clan.
No, that wasn't what the joke
was. What was the...
It was Wu-Tang was doing some kind of like anniversary tour of some album. We were like, an anniversary of one of your albums is coming up. Would you do the same thing? And he was just like, I don't know anything about the Wu-Tang Clan. Mm-hmm. He was just very defensive that we even brought that up.
Right. So then we somehow in that room got in a conversation about South by Southwest, and David Vincent lives in Austin. So he's like, oh, you got to go.
Yeah,
it's the greatest. It's 10 days and it's all just music and it's so good. And there's every type of music you want, not just metal. There's rock, country, pop, hip hop, unfortunately.
Really said that?
Exactly.
Is this like confidential stuff that you're not supposed to be talking about?
He didn't sign any agreements.
All right, fair enough. Well,
just
I don't
that
want you
part.
To get in trouble.
No, just that. That was it.
What's he going
to
do?
Look at how much I've grown. I used to love when you got in trouble. Now I'm looking out for you.
Wow.
Look at that.
Going to challenge you to fight like some other people?
Yeah. We'll get to that. Let's take a call. 562, you're on the Metal Injection livecast.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Rob. I wasn't able to make it in the nap.
It's all right. I guess this is El Duderino, I guess.
Oh, I guess it's just me. Oh, God,
yeah.
My friend who was supposed to bring the visitor's pass to interview there got clogged up on the highway. It got completely flooded. There's so much damn rain here.
Well, you know, I can't judge anybody for clogging up anything. So,
yeah, Rob clogged up Sweden.
That's A-okay.
The king of clogging. I tried going over to Lucille's after that to see if you were hanging out there, if you were going to get ribs for lunch there or not. But
what is Lucille's?
You never heard of Lucille's?
That is why I asked. What is Lucille's?
Oh, it's a really huge barbecue restaurant chain. I think it's originally Louisiana based, but it just got amazing brisket, ribs, basically every kind of smoked meat you could possibly want. It's
Leroy is confirming
best
this.
Chain I'm.
I sure want. No, I had like a bunch of Mexican and then some like sushi and IHOP.
What'd that hotel room smell like? Jesus,
don't ask.
Did I see a picture of your hotel? And it was like, or am I imagining?
Yeah, with you in the room.
No, the outside of it. It looked like a painted like castle. It looked like the Excalibur.
Oh, the hot tub.
Yeah. It totally kind of looks like that. And there was a hot tub, and after walking for 8 hours straight, guess what? Going in a hot tub feels amazing.
Who was the third guy in that photo?
It
was
Max Frank. He writes for Gear God.
Okay.
Who was the second
And he
guy?
Struck. Opposed.
Yeah, that I was like, what? Is
he
this?
Owned that photo. We just happened to be
in
it. No. We know that.
Were all your IHOP farts making the bubbles in the hot tub?
There were no IHOP farts in the hot tub. I only went to IHOP once because it was just so gross. I'm like, we need to just wake up a little earlier and drive a little out and get like legitimate breakfast.
Any,
we cannot have IHOP anymore.
Any processed chaladiets flow to the top?
Yes. I did have amazing
If you just clean out the hot tub strainer, it's just like Holodietz. I mean, all that fucking dead skin and shit.
Rather eat that.
I did go to that Thai Nacorn. If you're ever in LA, you have to go to this Thai place. It's about an hour
Very
outside.
Very delicious.
Of worth it. It's the best Thai I've ever had. And so they had this raw shrimp salad. I posted this photo on my Instagram.
Sounds
Noah's already puking.
Sounds awful. Yeah.
So it's essentially kind of like a raw shrimp ceviche. It's just cooked in the lime, and then intense peppers on like dried flakes of pepper.
Uh-huh.
So spicy.
Vein
so
or no
good.
Vein?
In the shrimp?
They got to assume no vein.
There was one of them did have a little
Ew.
Little poop vein.
They scooped the duty flex out.
That's
vein.
What Noah's at.
No, you said there was a poop vein. I'm saying the actual poop.
that's
the poof
what,
but
that's
what
it is.
Who can, like, you're
just
eating.
Just tell yourself
would you,
that it's plankton. It's no different.
Yeah, I'm fine with eating the shrimp poop. It's A-okay. It's fine.
It's just sand. Tell yourself it's
also,
just sand.
I would eat it. Yeah, I would eat it again, but it's the type of thing that you, like, so, you know, there's eight of them. You can't really eat more than two.
So what happened to the rest?
Well, we all shared.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it wasn't just like, yeah.
Did you bring it home like how you brought the lobster home that one time?
That was Noah that
brought
it for me.
I brought the lobster home for Rob. Yeah.
The ones you didn't eat, did you just put them in the hot tub like to set them free? Since they're raw, they probably could swim off.
Oh, that's
well, the heads
crazy.
Were chopped off.
Oh,
it was like cleaned and everything. It was just not cooked. That's not cooked traditionally. It was,
not fresh.
It was very fresh.
Fresh.
Very fresh.
With all the hot peppers, you can't tell what's going on underneath.
No,
that.
You could
that's
smell the fishy. It didn't smell fishy.
Ew. Sounds terrible.
It was good. But and so the day of my flight, someone suggested Mexican, and so the flight was really delayed, and it was, so I didn't get in until 2 in the morning, and we had this lunch at like 2, and then so the flight was going to land at like 2 a.m. actually, and then so it's 12:30 a.m. on the flight, and I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to have to take a shit when I get home, and I'm like, wait a minute, I have an hour and a half to kill. Why don't I just take a shit on the plane?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to poop on the plane. You're supposed to do that.
If you got it, you got it.
I don't know. Where is this rule?
It's common decency that you don't shit on a plane unless it's an absolute emergency.
Right. If you have an option, you don't do it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It became an emergency. It's not
you
like...
Made
no, you,
it
no.
mentally an emergency.
You
started thinking about it, and then all of a sudden your asshole started dialing.
Well,
I know how this goes.
Hey Christina.
What? Hi.
It sounds like you framed it as
haven't
an
been
option.
In a while.
Well, I mean,
I could have held it in.
But the
well,
fact,
you should have then.
No. But the fact that he was considering it already an hour and a, with an hour and a half left to the flight means he was going to have to go.
Yeah.
Before
oh, for sure. Yeah. I would have been able to hold an hour and a half. And I'll tell you why. Because as soon as the plane landed, it was like, okay, now I have like I have an aftershock
right.
that I absolutely
second shit
yeah.
like fourth dinner.
So
Rob, how are
I was being very considerate because as soon as my first plop hits, I could smell it and I got up and I flushed because I was like, all right,
first
no
plop
need,
episode title.
There's no need for this to permeate. And so when I walked out, I was like, oh, I really hope there's nobody waiting. That's such a walk of shame.
Uh-huh.
And, was
and it was
there
Bob.
Was no one waiting. But so this was in
Frank.
The middle. This was in the middle of the plane. This toilet. So I'm walking back to my seat, and I just see someone two or three aisles behind just shaking his head no. Chick is knowing me, and I'm like, oh, man.
Yes, he does. That's why you don't
how
sit
did
on
you
the plane. Couldn't even back of the plane. You did it in the middle of the plane. Good God, bro.
No shame.
You
yeah,
shit yourself
to,
in the middle of the plane?
Yeah.
Not the entire
can
plane.
Can I finish my story? He was just headbanging, though.
No,
he
no
just
we just want to believe that you shit yourself in the plane. That's a much better story. Let's start that. Let's be a new meme. Robin shit himself on the plane.
Last week, though, I got a nice shipment of meals, of food, from the fine folks at Blue Apron. And
plug.
I am such a big fan of
me
this
too.
Service.
You posted a picture of what you
cooked.
I couldn't believe it.
Look,
we turned into chefs.
Yeah, I am not a cook by any stretch of the imagination, but Blue Apron makes me feel like at least a 3-star chef.
Yeah,
I mean, would even say a 4-star chef.
You can follow directions. You can make Blue Apron.
There's pictures.
It's so simple. And not only that, they ship you really, really fresh ingredients. And they ship you basically everything you need, with the exception of salt, pepper, and olive. That's the only thing you need to have in your house.
Yep.
Everything else they give you. And
perfectly portioned out.
Portioned out, give you exactly the amount you need.
I have to say, at first I was a little bit skeptical when I looked, like for example, I had catfish with lentils, and I looked at the lentils, and I'm like, this is not enough for two people, and it was such a big portion that I couldn't even finish it.
Yeah.
So delicious.
Yeah. I will also say that the hour that I spent helping my wife prepare and cook and then eating was the least angry she's been with me Hey, for any given hour,
yes.
Married.
The blue apron will help your relationship,
yes.
too.
Amy,
oh
God. Because we on the weekend, she was very excited to have you
yeah.
do stuff in the kitchen.
I mean, I just did, like, chopping and stirring.
Aww.
And
that's
stuff.
More that's more than you've done in
I
years.
I didn't cut off any fingers. I mean, the chopping took probably eight times as long as it would have if she had done it.
Can
but
that's the most
yes,
exercise thankfully.
I had my
Crocs like 3 years.
My house Crocs.
What? You got, oh, we have
for
to save
house.
That till after.
Yeah.
We
well, all
that.
The beef is raised humanely. The chickens are free range. The pork is raised naturally. All the seafood is very fresh.
Oh,
so good.
Sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. This is great food, and it's very, very affordable. And some of the meals that you'll be able to get this month include spicy shrimp and Korean rice cake, little pork chops with garlic piccata, and mushrooms and chipotle pepper for the vegetarians. Mushroom and chipotle enchilada for the vegetarians.
With lime sour cream. They put like these little twists, culinary twists on the meal that are
yeah.
so delicious.
If you go to blueapron.com/livecast to check out this week's menu, and you get your first three meals for two people absolutely free with free shipping. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It tastes great. It's fun to do. And blueapron.com/livecast for your free meal. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook.
Yeah.
Still
all right, we have a
Lucille.
Yes, I realize we didn't mention this. Deuterino's still, I didn't put him on hold. I'll put you on hold, Deuterino.
Hey, Deuterino's not the special guest?
He might be special.
Oh.
But he's not a guest. I mean, at this point, he's a part of the show.
It's
that's
true.
What Rob means.
That's right. We actually have Buzz Osborne, famous for his band The Melvins.
Oh, no big deal.
And we're going to be talking to him about his new band, Crystal Fairy, which Sid would joke sometimes was somebody's nickname in high school.
Well, I've never used that joke on that specific band name. A little too respectful to our guest, but sure, you can go ahead and do that.
But sure, toss me right under the bus.
Yeah, no, I support it. The fart phone.
You don't have to make a literal buzz.
Hello?
Hey, Buzz.
Hello? Yes.
Hey, Buzz. This is Rob from the Metal Injection Livecast.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Do you have a moment for this interview that we have scheduled?
You bet.
All right, awesome. Well, we're on the air. We wanted to talk about a little bit about your new project, Crystal Fairy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've heard the two singles, and they sound really awesome, and you got you... You got Dale, you got Omar, formerly of the Mars Volta, and you have a fantastic singer.
Harry Genderbender from Les Butcherettes.
And so how did you guys, how did that start? Who had the idea to do this?
Well, the Melvins have toured with Les Butcherettes a couple of times, and we decided that, you know, we were big fans. I mean, we really liked Terry a great deal, and I thought she was a dynamic performer, and so what we did was we said, we should start doing a song with her, and so ask her in the Melvin set, the end of the Melvin set, and ask her, what song would you want to do, you know, would you want to do one of our songs, would you want to do, you know, a cover song, and so she said, I want to do this Bikini Kill song, and so okay, wasn't too hard to learn, we learned it in the sound check, and then started playing it with her, and then as time went on, it just became more and more obvious to me that we should do some music with her. And Omar was on the tour, and we hung out with him a bunch of times. And I just thought, well, maybe we should just ask both of them. Me and Dale asked both of them to do it. So, and they said, yeah, they were really interested. And the funny thing is that they were kind of thinking the same thing. So it's very strange.
Oh, which Bikini
yeah,
Kill song was it?
Rebel Girl.
Oh, nice. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Are you a Bikini Kill fan? Was that new to you, doing that cover, or were you, like, into it regardless?
No, I mean, I knew, especially Toby from Bikini Kill. I knew her from, I don't know how old she would have been, 14 or something, in Olympia. And so we've known them for a long time, but, you know, I'd seen them a few times. Against it by any means or anything like that. Terry was a huge fan, so, you know, I was fine to do it. No problem at all.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, and it seems like there's always a project cooking.
Whether
it's Melvin's album or you guys are on tour. And now this, are you unable not to do music?
Well, you know, I mean, it's what I do. I'm a musician by trade. You know?
Yeah.
And I really like to
enjoy
a quote that Bob Dylan had when in that documentary where he said, they said, "Why are you still touring at your age?" He says, "I'm just holding up my end of the bargain." And I think that's it. You know? That's really no better answer than that. I continue to hold up my end of the bargain.
Would you, if there was no bargain, would you rather not tour, or do you still enjoy it?
Well, I mean, that doesn't even come up to. I mean, you know, I don't really think about it that way. You know, I just feel like I'm not in a position. I've never been in a position where I didn't have to work, and since I do have to work, then I'm gonna work. That's it. I don't know what it would be like to be in a position where I didn't have to do anything. That's an alien concept to me. I've never been in that position. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like, you know, since I can do it, I might as well do it, and I will do it.
And there's also something that goes along with playing music live and the chemistry and the, like, interactions and stuff that go on stage.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get that. You certainly don't get that recording. That's for sure. You know, it's a completely different thing. I mean, I don't view them the same as at all. You know, I think it's a totally different kind of thing. You know, like touring and making or playing live and making records is, there's nothing similar about it to me. Nothing. I view them completely separately, and I'm of the belief that when people see our band play, they don't imagine themselves as listening to a CD, you know?
Yeah.
You know? That's it. People can know that. And if they're listening to a CD or listening to music in their car, I don't think that they're imagining that they're at a live show. So, you know, it's like, no, I think people can tell the difference. You know,
it's
I approach it that way.
If you're at I've seen Melvin's a bunch of times, and I can certainly say there's no two shows that felt the same. It always feels like a new and unique experience. And not only because sometimes the lineups are different, it's just every show is a unique take.
Yeah, even when we're playing the same set, there's still something different about all of them, I think. I mean, I've always said that I view what we're doing as performance art more than anything else, you know? I still believe that.
I
don't really buy into the whole, you know, we're just part of the grand rock and roll tradition. I mean, it's like, nah, I don't feel like we're part of anything like that, you know? Nothing.
Does playing live with different bands and different artists, does that kind of help you write even more music? Does that encourage the creative process for you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've written and recorded hundreds of songs. You know, you see some live stuff that can give you an inspiration or see a band doing something that you find to be very inspirational, that's good, or, you know, it could be anything, any wide number of other things. We're music fans first and foremost, you know, before anything else. Without that, I don't really think it works, you know. If I just didn't want to do this, I wouldn't do it. I'd find something else to do.
My question was going to be, do you still find yourself seeking out new music to listen to, or do you just kind of like if music is your job and you need another distraction as a hobby?
What was the last part?
Oh, well, like, so for some musicians, I've noticed that they say that they don't listen to any music just because when they're not writing their own stuff, they'd rather not be distracted or have it, you know, influence them in some way. They'd rather just do their own thing. So I was wondering if that's more like it, or you're still an avid music fan, but I'm guessing it's that you're still an avid music fan.
Yeah, sure. The problem is it's never, it's not any different. It's different or no different now than it's ever been, which is there's very little new music I like. But that's always been the case. You know, I mean, there was never a golden era for me where I liked everything. I've always been really picky, for whatever reason. A lot of it didn't work for me. A lot of music doesn't work for me. So when I find something new, I'm really into it. If I find something that's really good, I can't not listen to it. I find the exact opposite experience is in that when I listen to other music, I get inspired, you know, so just like I was saying, so. You know,
right.
I can't imagine sitting around not listening to music. That's crazy. Or watching movies. That's a huge inspiration, too. Yeah.
What music or movies have you been into lately that have been great enough for you to obsess over?
Musically, or I mean, movie-wise, I like this new movie, Nocturnal Animal, a great deal. I thought that was really good. You know, inspiration-wise, who knows? Sometimes you can hear a good soundtrack, and you can really be into it. We're kind of have always felt like our music sounded like soundtrack music anyway, at least to some degree. Filmmakers don't think so, but we do.
Well, speaking of soundtracks, of course, your work with Fantomas is kind of Your work with Fantomas was an ode to classics. And I was personally curious. I'm a big fan of that band. Have you talked to the other members about possibly starting that up again? Is there anything going on there?
No, nothing's going on. It's Mike's deal. I'm in if he wants to do it. But beyond that, I don't have any say or control over it. I didn't write any of the music or anything, so. Hey, hold on.
Sure.
You know, so it's kind of up to him. His deal, you know. But I'm in if he wants to do it.
That's cool. And so with Crystal Fairy, how long did you guys take to write this new album that's coming out?
Self-titled,
February 24th on Ipecac. How long did it take to put all the songs together?
Well, when we decided we wanted to do music, we wanted to do some stuff, we said, well, Terry, and Dale, let's get together and see what happens. And so we went to our practice place, and I had a couple of ideas for things, and we started doing it, and like within the first 20 minutes to half an hour, we had the first song, which is the song Bent Teeth. That's the first thing we did together. And by the time me and Dale got done figuring out what the music was going to be, how it was going to all, she had the lyrics done. So we wrote and tracked that song in the first day, and then tracked another song, the song Drugs on the Bus, all in the first day. Wrote and tracked them, both, as they are on the record.
Wow.
Local performance, all of it. Yeah,
well,
no demos, nothing. What was that?
That must be really encouraging, like all you guys to have that feeling like there's something there, and then it kind of falls into place so easily. That's awesome, and you could definitely hear that on, you know, like on the record.
Well, you know, at this point in all of our musical careers, we kind of know when something's done, and it's like, yeah, this is good, this is really great, you know, and we're capable of moving on from that point. You know, it's like, yes, this is good. Let's go. And it felt really great, amazing. I have spent so much time writing most of the music myself, writing all the lyrics, writing all the music, that it was really quite refreshing to be working with someone like Terry, who also had musical ideas and wrote all the lyrics. So that was great. That was really great. You know, and she is so talented. It's just amazing, you know.
She sounds great. I mean, all of you sound great, and just like the sound is like very nostalgic, you know, to like 70s hard rock and roll and stuff. And I mean, not that I was alive back then, but it's really cool to hear it reinterpreted in like modern times.
Yeah, well, I kind of wanted to do something. I don't know how much you guys have listened to Le Butcherettes, but I kind of wanted to do something that was outside of her, which, you know, range a little bit, like stuff she hadn't done. And I thought kind of more of a rock type thing to some degree, but I knew it would be weird enough for me to handle it. I mean, it's definitely not, you know, rock and roll 101 or anything like that. But she's not that kind of a person. She's going to add her crazy flair to it that's going to make it into something else. And I knew that would happen, and it could not have been better. I mean, it was just so easy and so quick. And we got results so quickly out of it that, you know, by the end of the first day, we had those two songs done and working on a third one. So then the third day, that was when we did, what else did we do? We did Necklace of Divorce and maybe one more. So we had four songs, I think, within like the first 2 days of playing together at all, you know. Like with Necklace of Divorce, she had an idea for that musically. And then me and her kind of worked. I wrote part of it a little bit. We kind of adapted it together and arranged it, and there it was done. It's really weird, you know. We never rehearsed at all, you know.
And it sounds great. It sounds like it's own thing. I love how the guitars and her voice come together. Like her vocals are the perfect vocals for that music. I feel it just comes together well. And you guys have some shows in California next month. Are there any plans on expanded touring or like scheduling issue? Oh, you guys?
No, we're definitely gonna do it. I'm thinking as much time as I can into this thing. We don't have any Melvin's plans at the moment. As a matter of fact, we're finishing up a couple of things now, Melvin's wise, to have done. So when the Crystal Fairy thing gets going more, then we already have something ready to go for the Melvin's. So we're finishing that right now. Two different things right now. So to finish.
How do you keep your energy levels so high like that? You sound very energetic.
Well, I'm very much, and I have been for a long time, I'm very much of the idea that you envision and you execute. That's what you do.
Yes.
You don't sit around and wait. I think that there's a point where you can flog something to death by overdoing it. I've done it myself, where you flog the life out of it. You've over-rehearsed it, you've overthought it, and now whatever initial energy was there, that was there, is gone. You know, with Crystal Fairy, there was no time for that. This is it in its raw essence, right away, you know. So, you know, I mean, the songs, like the songs on the record were never rehearsed. We learned them and we recorded them. You know, it's exactly opposite of what most bands do, you know. And so then there you have, and a lot of times, there you have this fresh energy, and it's totally obvious on there, you know. It works really great. And like I said, it was really weird. Me and Dale would be working on some music and turn around, and Terry's like, I'm ready to do the vocals, you know?
You got it right away. That's so cool.
But yeah, that's really great. I mean, like, you've been in the music industry for over, like, 3 decades, and it's, I don't know, like, for me personally, it's really cool to hear how excited you are, because I feel like a lot of people kind of lose that excitement.
You get cynical.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm very cynical, but I mean, I always was, you know?
Yeah.
True.
I mean, when I was a teenager, I was never not cynical. I always felt like I'm a classic pessimist when it comes to that, you know. Optimists will look at the world and say that it's, you know, they're lucky that they're in. They can't imagine anything better. And the pessimist like me will look at it and go, that's the problem. There isn't anything better. You know, but I think that there's, you know, healthy pessimism is a really good idea. You know, it keeps you real, keeps you, you know, I have always operated like I was going to be out of business in 6 months. Like, this was not going to work, you know, it's not going to work. And and as long as I have that idea, then I think it's served me well. As long as I keep that focus, that it is not going to work. No one is going to care. You know, so you might as well just do what you think is good, and as long as you stick to that, and it doesn't make any, then it doesn't make any difference. You know, I like it. I assume I have good taste, and I think if I like it, then other people will like it. It's not going to be a millions of people, but it'll be enough, you know?
Well, speaking of that, that's an interesting viewpoint, because I was curious, you know, with the music industry's constant change over the last 3 decades, you know, from vinyl to cassettes to CDs to downloading and now streaming, Are you still confident in the music industry sustaining itself? Do you think, or will it be up in 6 months?
I don't know. No idea. Ultimately, I don't really care how people listen to my music. It makes little difference to me. You know,
that's not
to me.
You waste your time about. You don't think about
what
how. What I was saying is, you don't think about necessarily the business aspect of it, like if it'll sell or whatever. You're just gonna
making
the music, and you're playing live, and you'll let the business people deal with that.
No, I mean, I totally think about the business side of it. I just mean I don't care if people want to listen to my music streaming or if they want to listen to it on vinyl or CD. And it makes little or no difference to me. You know, the most important thing is that they're listening to it.
Right.
I don't care how they listen to it. It makes no difference to me. So you watch these changes happen. And I said, well, that's great, but ultimately, the most important thing is that they're actually listening to it. Great, you know. I don't care about anything beyond that. As far as like that. So, no.
For a pessimist, you sound optimist. For a pessimist, you
well,
sound
it's very optimistic, but you have to remember with pessimism, a healthy pessimism means that you're going to operate like it's not going to work, and then when it works, you're pleasantly surprised. You know.
Mm. Savor it. True.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. I don't take anything for granted. Nothing. You know? Nothing. I'm always surprised when it works. Great, this worked. I wasn't wrong. Good. You know, now let's move on to the next thing. I mean, it's like with albums, by the time they come out, you've already lived with it for a long time. You know? You're over it. You've moved on. By the time the public actually hears it, like the Crystal Fairy stuff, I mean, I think those two songs, the first two songs we did were a year and a half ago.
Mm.
You know, that's how it works. You know, that's just how it works. So you get the record done, and by the time you mix it and all those kinds of things, and it sits there, and then, you know, it was over a year ago when we did our last recording session for Crystal Fairy. So I have lived with this music for a long time. You know, I've moved on. I did another album since then, and now we're working on two more. So, you know, finishing up two more. So, you know, then you
more
go back
albums?
To it. Yeah, you know. And we've even recorded a few more Crystal Fairy things, a couple of songs we have that aren't done yet, you know. We just have to get in the same room and finish them. We have the basic makings for them and take it from there. But, you know, I mean, I think the business side of it is really important, as is the creative side of it. It's all part of the same thing, you know, really. You know, and you just do... I try to do things in a way that I would appreciate other bands doing them, and I try to not be a joiner-inner in that if a bunch of people are already doing it this way, there must be something wrong with it. So I have to figure out some other way. It's not going to work to me. You know, that's where the pessimism comes in. If everybody's doing this, why should I be doing it? What makes me special? You know, maybe I should think of another way of looking at this, another way of making this, you know, happen. Another thing that makes it more interesting for me.
That's
what
exactly what does make it special.
Yes. You know, is everybody else doing this? Well, I don't want to do it then. You know, not like that anyway. You know,
so we got one.
However that may be. Yeah.
All right. If you'll bear with me for a non-music question.
No problem.
About 5 years ago, I was at a Mets game at Citi Field with a friend, and I was on my way to get a burger in the concourse, and I look over, and there's Buzz Osborne from the Melvins standing next to me at the Mets game. So I was just wondering, are you like a baseball fan? Do you try when you're on tour to go to like different ballparks, or was it just like a random thing you happened to do that one time?
No, Dale and I are huge baseball fans. That's the only sport I really like. You know?
So,
I always liked playing sports. I just never liked people that played sports. You know,
very reasonable, very reasonable.
The next thing is, are you a Mets fan or did you just happen to be at that game?
Well, I was. I've been to Yankees games there too, but I'm a baseball fan in general. But I generally like National League baseball better. So you know, if I was in New York, I would definitely be a Mets fan. But I would still go to Yankees games. It's all different teams. You know,
yeah.
Why would I hate?
Do you?
You know, why would I? I would not hate either of those teams if I lived there. Just like if I lived in the Bay Area, I wouldn't hate the A's or the Giants. You know. They're both right there. I just feel, you know, feel lucky that you have two teams that are playing.
Yeah.
It's baseball every single night in the greater New York area during the season. That's amazing.
Yep.
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you have
a
team that you root for?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a main team that you root for, though?
Dodgers.
Okay.
Definitely, because I live in L.A. Dodgers.
Oh, okay.
National League. I mean, it would be a National League team. My favorite team would be a National League team, regardless. You know, because I can't stand the designated hitter. It drives me crazy.
Old school.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. It's a chess game, you know, and I think that takes a lot out of it, you know.
Do you not like interleague play either, or the wild card?
I like it fine because it makes it to where you can see teams you haven't seen before. And what's cool about it is it makes it to where an American League team, if they're playing in the National League Park, they have to play by National League rules.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Right.
You know. I mean, guys like Greg Maddux never played on an American League team, never. I think he wanted to bat, you know. And Barry Zito, when he signed with the Giants from the A's, said that he went there specifically so he could bat. You know?
Interesting.
So there you go. And there's people talking about, I can't believe it, talking about, should get rid of the, or put designated here in the National League. I'm just saying, that's nuts. That's people who don't know anything about baseball.
What they should do is
get rid of the designated hitter in American League Baseball. Get rid of it. Do away with it, you know?
I heard the suggestion that they were saying that they should play with the DH in the NL parks when they play interleague so that the fans can see, like, the other way.
And vice versa?
And vice versa, yeah.
Hmm.
Well, they don't do that in the World Series.
So. Yeah.
No, I know. I don't think that's ever going to happen. It was thrown out there.
And also, like, with streaming and ESPN and MLB Network, everybody's familiar with both styles. It's not like we don't see how the other league plays at this point.
Yeah, I don't really like baseball on TV. I like to be able to see what the whole field's doing, you know? It drives me crazy. I will watch it if it's there, but, like, I don't have cable or anything like that. When I'm at home, during the season, if I'm not at a game, I just look at the stats online, you know, or game day. That's it. I don't even bother streaming
baseball?
It. Excuse me?
Do you do fantasy baseball?
No, I'm not involved in any of that kind of thing. No,
well,
most of it's just on my own. You know?
Okay.
That would have been great to have Buzz Osborne in our live cast.
Oh, my God. We're just doing like
you guys are big baseball fans. That's great. So you guys are Mets fans?
Yes.
Yep. The two of us are. The other two co-hosts are not really into baseball that much.
Yeah, that's like my wife. She hates baseball. My wife's more than happy to just let me go.
That's fine.
I'm like you.
Yeah,
I don't like watching it. Yeah, I like watching it live.
Yeah, it's a
live.
It's a great social thing because it doesn't move so fast. You know, you could actually hang out and
have conversation.
Yeah.
Eat hot dogs.
Yeah. It's great. Plus, it's like everything that people think that don't like baseball, everything that they think is boring is exactly what I like about it. You know, the pitcher is intentionally taking his time. The batter is intentionally screwing up the pitcher's rhythm, on and on and on. You know, I mean, there's a million things. Now, I mean, with every single pitch, it's a new count. Now they have to look at it from a different perspective. Now they've got guys on base. The pitcher has to pitch out of the stretch. I mean, it never ends.
The game with
you know,
the game.
But if you don't care, then it's just boring.
Yeah.
You know, but not to me. You know,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, a 3-0 count is so much different than any other count. You know. Yeah. You know how the guy pitches. He's you know, it's amazing. You know, for the hitter or whatever. I mean, those are all the things I like. The sabermetrics, all that stuff. I'm really into all that.
Do you
Majorly.
Have any predictions for what the Dodgers will do this season?
I think the Dodgers will do pretty good. They've won their division 4 years in a row, which is pretty unprecedented. They've spent a lot of money. I noticed they haven't picked up any big-time pitchers this year. But all the guys that went, I don't know, that's a tough one. Who do you go with, you know? They got a pretty young squad. I think they're going to do pretty good this year as well. Who knows?
Yeah.
They're looking for a second baseman right now. So I was hoping they'd get Ian Kinsler, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Watch out for the Rockies. Rockies, I think, are going to challenge for that West.
This year?
Yep. I love that pitching staff.
You never know. I mean, the only problem with the pitchers in the Rockies is they get used to pitching at that high level. And so and a lot of it is not fair to them. I think their park's too big, you know. But who knows? I think they get a little discouraged. But
I agree. What they have now is
but, you know, who knows? They get down to a sea level like the Dodgers, and everything's going to break a lot more than they're used to, you know. Who knows?
Well,
the Rockies could be. I mean, the Rockies have been in the World Series, you know, since the Dodgers have. So,
yeah, that's
it's anybody's
true.
Guess. It's anybody's guess. Baseball is such a weird game. I mean, you figure the worst team wins 60 games, and the best team loses 60.
Yeah.
You know, so you're really only talking about 40 games that make a difference. In the whole season, 40 games, you know? It's amazing. Out of all those games, you know? Huh?
You still got to watch all of them, though, because you don't know which 40 it's going to be.
No, you don't. That's why I've always been of the belief that when you look at the playoffs and there's teams that are down to the wire, you know, who's going to get in, it's like that shows you how important those games in April and May really are. Every game, you should approach it like it's the seventh game of the World Series. Every single game.
Yeah.
And the good coaches do that, you know.
Yeah, it seems they're figuring it out now, bringing in their best relievers earlier in the game and stuff like that. They're learning slowly but surely.
Well, there's a million ways to do it. I mean, the pitchers used to, in the 60s, pitch a lot more pitches than they do now. But there's no less guys in the DL now than there ever was. So why?
Yeah.
You know? It's very strange. It's a very strange game.
Could we also be they're just better at diagnosing these injuries now, too. I feel like medical science has advanced so much.
Yeah.
But my point is that they're really careful with pitch counts, but there's not less guys in the DL now than there were in the 60s. You know what I mean? It's sort of like in basketball. Huh?
They're throwing way harder now, so that sort of mitigates any improvements in technology because you're going to get hurt more when you're throwing 101 miles an hour than when you're throwing in the low 90s.
Well, you know, there's talk that if they were measuring it the same, then Nolan Ryan is actually the fastest pitcher ever.
Mm.
If they measured it the same way they do now with him, if they estimate his is about topped out at about 107. Because they used to change it before. And you look at guys like Bob Gibson. Bob Gibson had games where he threw over 200 pitches. You know,
yeah.
He went the distance in like a 15 inning game. You know, it's just shit like that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it is. You know.
There's
got
to be guys out that are still capable of that. It's just there's always going to be, like, genetic freaks in every generation, but they just don't have the chance to do it now. Like, Verlander could probably do that, but they just won't.
I'm sure they could. If you talk to any pitcher like that, unless they got something going on, if they got their stuff that day, they don't want to come out of the game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
No way.
Well,
they're throwing as good as they'll ever throw that day, why take them out, you know?
Well,
because they're throwing 120 pitches. Leave them in, you know? They're professionals.
Nobody,
this is what they do for a living.
True,
you know,
no
I wouldn't. If I was those guys, I would not want that coach saving my arm when I'm bearing down on these guys and killing them. You know, no way. I would want to stay in there and stomp them into the dirt. That's what I would want to do as a pitcher. Those guys are competitive.
Yeah.
You know, I would feel like I'm special and I want to do this. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do this, and I want to do it at a high professional level as long as I can. You know. I would say that that's the exact attitude I have towards what I do musically. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you're so passionate, even about baseball. It's great.
Yeah, well, if I'm into it, I'm really into it, you know, so. And baseball, it's easy to do. It's easy to do that with that kind of thing. But, yeah, there's a lot of similarities between those two, I think, you know.
Yeah.
While Sid and Darren are the resident baseball fans.
What was that?
While Sid and Darren are the resident baseball fans here, Noah and I are the resident pro wrestling fans, so we want to know, who do you think is winning the Royal Rumble this Sunday?
You know, I don't know anything at all about pro wrestling. You know, you should talk to about that is, you should talk to Adam. I told you, I only like baseball. That's it. You know? You should talk to Adam Jones from Tool. He's the wrestling fan. You know?
I'd love to.
Yeah, we're trying to.
Get him on a three-way call right now.
Conference him in. Let's do this.
Buzz, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Yes. Project.
All right, thank you, guys.
The album is coming out February 24th. We'll let you go. Thanks.
All right.
Again.
Fantastic conversation. Thank you.
Right, have a good
one. Yeah, thanks so much.
So that was Buzz. I want to play a new track. This is actually the title track. This is Crystal Fairy by Crystal Fairy from the album Crystal Fairy.
Rob's nickname in high school was...
some Crystal Fairy. I really dig it. That's Buzz and Dale from The Mills.
Can you dig it?
I dig it. It's Omar and what's her name?
No? Oh, come on, man.
Genderbender.
Saga.
No, I really like it.
Yeah, I did too. I thrash it. Heavy thrash.
Yeah, definitely.
If Buzz would have called in for Trash It or Thrash It, he definitely would have gotten an anonymous.
He would have gotten the free CD.
Yeah. Can we send him a free CD?
Sure. Send him his own CD. Send him Crystal Fairy. I like that the name of the song, it's like Black Sabbath. They have a song, Black Sabbath, on album, same name, everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
You don't have to remember too much stuff, you know?
We're all getting older. It's just easier this way.
I didn't mention it during the interview because we were having such a great time with Buzz. But you can call in and be a part of the show.
Yeah.
Number to dial 213-WIDE-NUTS. That's 213-943-3688.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I got in late yesterday. I was in such a shitty mood this morning. I barely got any sleep. And I was half awake. And then I saw Phil Abonte acted like a jackass this weekend.
God.
I wasn't really on social media. I was out and about. You know, I wasn't really.
Was he at NAMM? Did you see him face
to face? He was not at NAMM. He doesn't play an instrument.
I mean, he uses microphones.
There are vocalists. Yeah, no, he wasn't at NAMM. Nobody wants to
endorse. Maybe selling
that
some new vocoder product or something? Some new auto-tune program?
So, like, all weekend he was texting, like, tweeting, I should say. You know, what are these women protesting? What about, like, as if he doesn't know, you know, just trolling. And then finally, it went too far.
Okay, what did he say?
He posted a photo of a woman. It went too far for Phil, I should say, that he couldn't take anymore. He had to write something. So this woman brought a sign that said, "I dream women will one day have the same rights as guns."
Right.
And Phil, being a huge NRA nut,
ugh, shocker,
was like infinite stupidity.
So did he elaborate on why that's a stupid
No, no, he's just like, then this other one is when you try to figure out exactly what fucking rights women don't have in America, and it's a meme of like a confused woman. Anyway.
I think when people say, you know, women don't have rights, it's not like they don't have any rights. I think it's, they're misconstruing.
They have unequal rights.
Right. I feel like it's women is more like a subclass in our society still, which sucks. It's not like they can't legally go out and walk around and have a job and stuff.
And also they're being threatened with Planned Parenthood defunding. Now, if you're someone who's like, oh, who cares if Planned Parenthood gets defunded? It is the only place for women to get free, legitimate service for certain exams. It's not just abortion. Abortion is such a small part of it. It's not like it's an abortion factory. It's a clinic.
There's also a lot of places where you cannot get birth control unless you go through Planned Parenthood also. So if you want birth control, you have to go if you get rid of Planned Parenthood, a lot of people are not going to be able to get birth control.
And you know what that leads to? More unwanted pregnancies.
Right.
And you know who doesn't want these women with unwanted pregnancies to have abortion? These same fucks who are suppressing the money for Planned Parenthood.
Phil
it doesn't
Abonte.
Make sense. Yeah. So Phil Abonte then goes. So then we didn't even talk about Richard Spencer getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
This fucking
all right, we'll save that for later because that's. The reaction to that was so stupid.
Well, we'll talk about we'll get into it in more detail later. But basically, this Nazi fuck got punched in the face, and you know, people are like, "Yeah, you know, it's fine to punch him," which it is. Well, Nazis are.
Yes.
Look, I am not a violent person. I am not one to call.
Except when you can't open your sunflower seed.
I would never call for violence unless I don't have my weed.
I'll give you a perfect analogy for why it's okay to punch Nazis in the face. This is the analogy. If somebody is gay, and they're in the closet and they don't want to tell anyone that they're gay, that's their business. It would be a really shitty thing to do to go and out them without their permission, correct? But if they're let's say a government employer, a Republican or a senator, and they're constantly anti-gay and they're taking services away from gay people and denying gay people rights and they're gay, that's perfectly fine to out them. It's two different situations.
Agreed.
You have ceded the moral high ground to stay in the closet once you start persecuting other gay people.
So excellent, excellent analogy, Dan Moroney.
So if you're going to go around, you know, promoting hatred of people and stomping their heads into the curb, then you should get punched.
And talking about what pussies they all are.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when one of them's not a pussy and decks you, then
take
your medicine.
So, and now somehow, so then Labonte goes, I'm flabbergasted by the left calling for violence.
Right.
Why do you want that? You've no idea what you're asking for.
We're not.
We train. We practice.
Who's we, by the way?
I guess he's admitting he's a Nazi.
Yeah. Are you just saying you're a fucking Nazi?
Hold on. Before, he did not directly say this in response to the Richard Spencer thing. It could be him referencing the riots that happened during the inauguration day where, like, those the glass at the Starbucks was knocked out, whatever.
Yeah, two people broke a fucking window.
So,
therefore,
it's so over-dramatized. It's like there was hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people protesting. 10 people fucking throw a brick through a wall and suddenly everybody is violent.
10 people throw a brick through a window and 83 TV cameras come and promote how terrible it is.
Yeah. So he goes, it would be awful. And by awful, I mean the body count. We would win and we would mourn the loss of life.
Okay, so you're you're right there. Go ahead and go start some shit. Go ahead. You have the guns. Go ahead. Shoot somebody.
So then this the editor of this website, Toilet of Hell, tweeted in response to him, love to play pretend Rambo on twitter.com. Good. And then he goes, oh, you're just a cute little one man killing machine. Yes, you are, Phil. That guy.
Like the church
then,
lady.
So Labonte responds, I wonder if you'd be nice to me if you liked All That Remains music. And the answer is no, because you're still a douchebag.
Yeah. Much like, look at Dave Mustaine. We enjoy his music. His music doesn't suck like All That Remains does, but we still hate him.
Exactly. And then he goes, he posts a screenshot of him, of that kid mocking him. And on Instagram, listen to this victim.
Okay.
This is what I put up with. This guy just shits on me every chance he gets just because he doesn't like the songs I write. Think about that. He goes out of his way to be a cunt because he doesn't like the music. It's not like we make him listen. He chooses to listen. Then he chooses to get on the internet and shit on me. How fucking sad is that? What a fucking faggot.
Oh, faggot. Okay.
Which, it's like,
wait, but then, didn't he, am I like jumping ahead in the story because he started talking about how he's like divorced or doesn't have.
Yes, you are jumping ahead in the story.
Sorry. Okay.
Hold on before we get to that.
Sorry. So much to the story.
He goes, so then someone else responds to him, like, even if anyone found your music bearable, you'd still be a cuck. This is toward Phil Labonte. And then Labonte goes,
what do you mean I'm a cuck?
And then Labonte goes, a cuck? That's your line? I've got two decades of being an alpha, and you're going to try that?
Can I break into this? How old is he?
He's 41.
He's 41. So up until 21, he was a cuck?
He was a beta. He was a beta, and then at 21, he graduated to an alpha.
Is there some backstory behind this where he's discussed this? Or
no, I don't know what this means. I don't know why he took 20 years.
Why you kill beta, Daniel? You're 20-year-old beta.
Let me tell you the Philibonte. You kill it, the bear. Why you kill it, the beta, Daddy? 21-year-old cuck baby.
I don't care if it's the Phil Labonte, Phil the Brawny, Phil the Star Brand that is $1 cheaper.
Phil the Sparkle.
Phil the Cotton Earl. I wipe my Iranian ass with you. Piece of shit. You like bullshit, Hulk Hogan. You kiss Mr. Hulk Hogan back like a cuck. Trust me, you don't want the Iron Sheik red gold medal champ one. The body count will be higher than your body count. Piece of shit. Labonte, she's a shit.
Wow. Cheeky baby. baby Papa Vane in his head.
Your wife come to me. She's a chic baby. Why you not coming to the Georgia? And you give me some of the loving because Philip Bundy, he is too much of the cock. She don't want the cock. She want the 10-inch cock of the Iron Sheik. Fuck the Philip Bundy. Fuck the Le Bounty.
Can we tweet that entire transcript at him right now?
No good. Phil Le Bounty, you are not like the Jim Brunzeller. He is from the Minnesota. God bless his mother. God bless his father. You are the cock. I don't care 21 year, 41 year. You're beta. You're gamma delta. You're omega. You're all the bullshit letter, but not the alpha. Fuck the Le Bounty. I am the alpha, motherfucker. I am the alpha every day and night. You're the grasshopper dick, motherfucker. You're stupid cock bitch, motherfucker. No good. You know, Madonna have the more balls than you. Madonna, I believe she's stronger than you. You're a fucking pussy. She cursed on the TV. Now the government investigates. Nobody care about you, motherfucker, to investigate.
Wow, amazing.
Even 73 years old, Madonna make a better music than you. Fucking all that remains in the fucking toilet when Iron Sheik finish it. Fuck you.
So when he was doing this, I was just like, oh, let me see what else. As I was researching this story, I was going through social media to see what other dumb shit he wrote about this Women's March thing. And then, so he says he's an alpha. I've got 2 decades of being an alpha, and you're going to try that. And then on his Facebook, his official Facebook page, the top status. Now, mind you, this is not his personal page where you can add him as a friend.
Oh, this is
a
page?
Public page. You like it.
Right. This is.
Do you understand the difference?
His band or like his personal?
No, his like personality page.
Okay,
like Phil Labonte.
You.
Like you can like
right.
Phil Labonte.
I got you.
So did you have to like Phil Labonte in order to see this post?
No, this is a public
it's
post.
It's a public post.
Oh.
Wow.
Not
so
anybody can
it
see
to
it.
Anybody.
Public, the whole world indexed on Google.
Gotcha.
So this is what it says. Don't want to get too personal, too misspelled, T-O. Don't want to get too personal.
He doesn't want to get too personal. Yet.
He doesn't want to get too personal.
Yeah. It's all the way over there. I can't get too personal.
Don't want to get too personal, but I miss being married.
Oh. Oh,
that you know,
terrible.
That is typical look at me, don't look at me right. status update.
Also,
like, I'm so mad, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, what's wrong? Maybe yeah. he'd still be married if he knew what rights women didn't have.
Yeah.
Mm. Is that possible?
And so this is what was so crazy to me was because the last time I even thought about Phil Labonte's wife was, if you remember,
oh, yeah.
a year or two ago, we invited him to debate on the show because this is not anything new of Phil Labonte dropping the faggot bomb. I'm just like it's his whole thing is just a word. Anyway, so when I was going back and forth with him about it, his wife stepped in and then she threatened to like dox me. She threatened to expose my information and like find out where I live because she worked in the Marines for like cybersecurity or whatever.
Wait, his wife that he doesn't talk to anymore?
His now ex-wife.
Oh wow!
So that was the last time I thought about her. So she and him are both like they're both on the same libertarian level.
Oh boy,
that
must be a fun house.
Libertarian, aka Republican with a leather jacket.
So at this point, he didn't clarify if they got divorced or if something happened to her health wise. So I didn't want to make any jokes too bad, but for me, it was just like the dichotomy of
yeah.
saying you're a fucking alpha male
right, right,
for 20
right.
years. And then going on social media and crying right. about how you're divorced.
Right. Faggot, 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 faggot. I miss my girlfriend, my wife. I miss her.
So then I post the story, and my headline is, let me scroll up because I want to, oh, wait, no. I changed it since, but my headline initially was, you'll never guess how self-proclaimed alpha Phil Labonte feels about the Women's March. But I've since changed it to, here's how we just triggered self-proclaimed alpha Phil Labonte from All That Remains. And I do want to give credit, now she's in the chat, she did remind me, to Lovely, because the self-proclaimed, because they remind me in the chat, I want to give credit to Lovely, because Lovely, last week, Lovely said about Steve Harvey, when we were joking, alleged comedian.
Right.
Lovely joke, self-proclaimed comedian.
Right.
Which that's totally where I got the idea. So, Lovely, thank you.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, so then, this is now when the story gets really fun. Because then Phil Labonte says, I can't believe they would do this, talking about Metal Injection.
Can't believe this.
Make fun of me for getting a divorce? Make fun of me being in pain? Absolutely terrible people.
I do declare.
How dare these faggots make fun of me for being divorced? I could, like, I was like, of all the
were you on an airplane doing all of this?
No, this was at home. I was already home today.
Sorry.
So when he wrote that, suddenly the adrenaline is pumping. I am awake now. I have taken 4 shots of espresso, all the draining tiredness that I had was gone, and I'm like, so I responded, you know, how is posting a screenshot of a public post you wrote making fun of you?
You actually put his words out there, Rob. That's very unkind.
How? And he responded, you're mocking me. Don't act like you're not. I think that's how he said it. Let me just go through it and then we can. Then I respond, damn, didn't realize somebody who's been an alpha for 20 years could be so sensitive. It's almost like people's words have consequences.
Nice.
And then he goes, mock me and my songwriting. That's totally cool. Making fun of my divorce is a totally shit play.
I feel like it's not either or, is it? We can multitask.
Also, at this point, like, who doesn't mock his songwriting? That's, like, too obvious. You got to get him go the next level deeper.
I guess he's saying, you know, this is a music site. We should stick to the music or whatever. Or you should be above. Here's what I took out of it was you should be above personal attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You should, if you're going to mock something, mock the creative output. And I'm like, I wonder if Phil Labonte has ever mocked anyone. And 2 weeks ago, he posted this meme, Potato or Amy Schumer. And it's photos of potatoes and Amy Schumer.
To be fair, Darren created that JPEG.
Implying,
I wouldn't do that.
Now,
I don't like her, but I wouldn't do that.
So the joke here is Amy Schumer is ugly, and she looks like a potato.
That's not funny. Like, I feel like if you want to attack Amy Schumer, you can do it a little
attack
more.
Her for her comedy as opposed to her personal life.
Or even if you wanted to go in the lowbrow way of making fun of her appearance, that's just not funny. It's not a funny joke.
That's absolutely not funny.
It's no sense of humor.
So then I responded, I guess you were mocking Amy Schumer for her comedy here.
Nice.
And then I go, how you feel now? Try to imagine that's the way a gay kid feels anytime you say faggot.
Right.
Words have consequences.
One of the random gay people that likes your music out of 9 billion people
on
the planet.
somebody who, you know, who doesn't really follow the internet, just listens to music.
Or if someone was at his show because they want to see another band and they have to, like, sit through the insufferable All That Remains, then and he hears that, or she hears that.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And so that was it. That was basically it.
But that's my thing. Is like, there was one thing you didn't read. There was some comment where he's like, you're going to compare words to making fun of my wife?
And oh,
like,
yeah.
What did you use to make fun of his wife? Not words?
But he not even Rob didn't even use his own words. He used Phil Labonte's words.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like I feel like now we're going to have to hear another 2 weeks of like a white Christian straight dude explaining why it's okay to say faggot.
Well, he goes, faggot has nothing to do with homosexuality.
Oh, thanks.
I'm pro-gay/anti-faggot. Right.
Right. He's cuck-splaining it to us.
Which is like, thank you for you deciding that, but yeah. Guess what? It's not your place to decide.
Not reality. Notice how they never do that argument with the N-word? Like, I feel like it just wouldn't, you wouldn't have that.
Of course not.
But the bottom line here is when you pride yourself on being this politically outspoken, outlaw, rebellious, politically incorrect guy who says whatever the fuck he wants, when people say whatever the fuck they want back to you, you can't get upset about it, no matter what it is, because that's your whole thing, so you should be okay with other people doing the same thing to you.
Well, he is a whiny titty, baby.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
What's good for me is not good for you. You can't do this shit to me. I am the only one who's allowed to call people names.
I am an alpha, but please don't bring up my personal.
You think maybe his wife will want to come on the show now that she's not his wife anymore?
She's gone. She hasn't updated her. So that's kind of what I was like, maybe it is a health thing.
Maybe she saw a stealth cyber marine hiding.
Rob, if you know anybody who works for a metal news website, you should check in. Maybe they know what happened to his wife.
Or maybe she lives in your neighborhood and she's the one that wrote Trump on the garage.
Maybe.
Could be.
We have some callers. Could one of these people be Phil Labonte? Phil, if you're listening, 213, why not? That's the number, 213-943-3688. 989, area code 989, you're on the live cast.
It's you.
989, you there?
If your area code is 989, we're talking to you.
All right. Put back on hold. 847.
Yes, this is Phil Labonte.
Yes, Phil Labonte.
Mm-hmm. How's it going, Phil?
It's good.
Okay, what's going on, Leroy? Glad you have something
nice
to
try,
say.
Nice try.
Yeah, not much. Is that guy from the Melvin still here?
No.
Yeah.
We can get it back on the line, though.
Well, we're calling him right now.
Hello, this is Buzz. How are you?
I really don't have anything to contribute. I just am really upset at Sid, but that's nothing unusual. Because of your thrash and trash to that one blues song, which was fantastic, probably the best song you guys played, and you guys shat all over that one guy's thing.
Sid did the most.
And then
it's true.
As usual.
But Rob, I'm glad you liked Sturgill on SNL. That was an awesome performance, both songs.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I genuinely didn't mind it, I should say. No, I enjoyed it.
I pooped so much.
Did you see the second one when they like dumped the piano on the ground and then he smashed his Telecaster?
They should have done that before he started the song. It would have been better for me.
Oh, then it would have been a cappella, though.
Yeah, I guess. Still, the more elements you take away, it could only get better.
Fair. But there's more of him that way.
Thank you.
It's quite a conundrum.
What if you ran into Sturgill Simpson at a Mets game? What would you do?
I would not recognize him. He would just look like any random white dude that was at the Mets game.
True.
From Williamsburg.
Yeah.
All right, Leroy.
Well, thank you for your call, Leroy.
Go
on, go on.
What?
He wants
us. I'm gonna hang up. But I had a dream about you guys, and I know this is like a line of thing where people have dreams about you for some reason. And I, for some reason, did, and it was really lame and boring. There's nothing cool about it.
I have a degree in dream interpretation. So what do you?
It's actually a certificate.
So please.
Well, we were just driving around my parents' house, and it was the winter, and I only think it was really Rob and Noah. I'm not sure if Sid and Darren were there. I can't really remember. And we just went to my parents' house and sat in my brother's room and ate Mediterranean food, and that's all I remember.
I'm down.
Yeah.
As long as there's
weed. Yeah.
Obviously.
I don't know if there was any of that, but.
Was there any kissing?
Were all of us being like a three-way kiss? Yeah.
I think Rob was eating his boogers. I remember that.
Booger boy!
Yeah, you made that come on. I guess you made it up either way. Good drink.
Yeah. Maybe in your
all right, Leroy's gone. That's
booger.
Too far.
All right.
5-6-2. I guess this is a.
Yeah, Leroy. Words hurt.
Words have consequences.
Faggot. Duck.
I did what. Yeah, you're right. You're equating actual personal attacks with a word. That's what he said. That
Hello?
Was his response. Oh, hey, Judarino. You're still on.
Yeah.
But I just want to make this point. Hold on. you're equating actual
then
personal
Then I got a
attacks.
Few points.
As if faggot was never used in a personal
no.
attack, like
no,
in
not,
the history of the world?
Not by
you
Phil
fucking
LeBounty.
Moron.
Not by Phil LeBounty. He means it in an altruistic way.
All right, Judarino, what's up? What were you going to say?
All right, this might be me being the live cast ombudsman again. But yeah. You guys were just saying if you are being a politically outward person, you can't get overly hyped up if someone criticizes you back. Why didn't you want to talk about that one Mexican Republican guy that made fun of you and you didn't want to promote his name? Isn't that kind of the same situation?
No,
really.
Totally not. And I'll tell you
how?
Why.
We're not like offended and mad. We just don't think he's worth our
we
time.
We don't
want to
give him hits.
Yeah, I don't want to give him publicity. I'm not offended at all. I think it's hilarious.
In fact, there's some things I really want to talk about this guy. And Rob says
we
probably
bring him on and like destroy him and pick him apart. I mean,
here's
no,
the
I definitely don't want to. Bring
and
him
this
on.
Might different. Sound like elitist or whatever, but I'm fine with that. As I was saying to Rob earlier today, that dude's website's Twitter account has Rob Metal Injection's Twitter has literally 1,000 times more followers. Than this guy's. Not 1,000 more followers, 1,000 times
right.
more.
And
yeah,
that's
up a little bit, you'll be on our
radar. Showed how stupid he was.
Well,
you
listen,
no, but the other
stupidity.
Who is exposing him to the audience and is possibly giving him more followers.
We're okay
and,
doing that for Ken Pierce, but not for this.
Yeah,
guy.
I like fuck.
But we don't have Ken Pierce on the show either.
We talk about him by name.
I'm truthfully flattered.
Yeah.
Flattered to no end that somebody was so offended that I'm calling all of these assholes out.
Right.
This fuck, he calls me an anti-Christian bigot. You damn right.
Well,
he had something to say.
The Shrek of Metal is an anti-Christian bigot. New headline.
Yeah.
The Chacham of Metal.
Yeah.
So there's not. It's not I'm not offended. I'm not bothered. It's literally, I don't want to acknowledge a peon. He's nothing. He's no, like, why should I give him a signal boost?
He's a fart in a mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Fuck
his
him. Website gets fewer views than the shitty comments on Metal Injection. And we don't go itemized one by one on those either.
Yeah. That's all it is. It's not anything offensive. Like, we share them all amongst ourselves and laugh about it all the time.
That's all we need to do.
But see, now
maybe we
want to
laugh too.
Now I feel like our listeners are like, well, what's the website? And
they want to go
and give this guy traffic.
Who would care? Honestly, he's gonna lose traffic if you guys pick him apart.
He has no traffic to lose. You can't go down from zero.
Yeah.
Elzirino, if it makes you feel any better, I have no fucking clue who this guy is and what the story is about this.
And you're not missing much.
You're missing laughs.
Yeah, I'll send you the links.
Okay. I wouldn't be invited to the chat, please.
And if I had one more point, it's only because I kind of heard it halfway. Darren was in the middle of a discussion or explaining something. What was your reason again for why it's okay to punch somebody?
It's not okay to punch a random person on the street. It's okay to person someone who advocates and carries out violence against other people.
Well, yes, but don't you think he could have just said something really embarrassing to Richard Spencer and make him look like a complete idiot? Punching someone just kind of seems like the physical version of saying faggot. It's not being creative enough. You could destroy him with an argument.
But it's so satisfying.
Calling someone a faggot is preemptively being a shithead. This is a response to someone else being a violent shithead. And also, it makes people uncomfortable to be Nazis in a public discourse.
Here, look, Judarino, I want to read you this quote that asshole said. And I want to clear, obviously, we
Fair.
Condemn this.
Me this too. Richard. I understand that.
But hold on.
Okay,
hold on. Let me just read what he said. For too long now, when we consider questions of race, especially questions concerning the black race, we've been framing things in completely the wrong way. Instead of asking how we can make reparations for slavery, colonialism, and apartheid, or how we can equalize academic scores and incomes, We should instead be asking questions like, does human civilization actually need the black race?
Jesus.
Is black genocide right? And if it is, what would be the best and easiest way to dispose of them? With starting points like this, wisdom is sure to flourish, enlightenment to dawn. Now, how do you talk a person like that down? And this isn't a 21-year-old kid. He's a 40-year-old adult, or like 37-year-old.
Maybe the guy.
Fuck this motherfucker for having. The only way to deal with people who think it's okay to say bullshit like this is to punch them in the face when they say it.
Knock some sense into them. Maybe
I'm not trying to defend. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I know you're not trying to defend his viewpoint. We're not arguing that point at all. But go ahead.
There is a great interview from like 20 years ago where Christopher Hitchens brings on a guy that's no different than Richard Spencer and then just completely rips this guy in half and just shows how ignorantly stupid he is, and he basically became irrelevant. No one knew about him anymore. Wouldn't that be so much better than sinking to their level and actually punching them?
No, because look, even if you make this person look like a fool, it's not like he's going to stop talking. Now, this incident has now put him into hiding because now he's afraid when he goes out in public, people are going to punch him in the face.
You understand what you're saying is correct in general, as a general rule of thumb.
Yes.
I totally agree with you.
It's a very extreme case.
This is somebody who has crossed the line that makes their appearance in public subject to this kind of thing happening to them, and that's a good thing. This is not something like that we advocate everyone should go out and punch people who disagree with them. If that doesn't work like that, this is a guy who ceded the moral high ground to feel safe in public.
Sometimes you got to fight these fucks on their level. It's
and the thing is that
that's a fine line. I mean, you say okay, I'll just punch him this time. What are you gonna do next time?
I'm good with whatever. I'm not gonna do it, but I'm good with whatever.
If anyone deserves
scare these motherfuckers back into their holes.
Yes, exactly. That's the only way to deal with racism on this level. That is the only way to let it be known that this is not okay. This is not acceptable in any sense. Now, I know this sounds like censorship, but it is not censorship. Yeah, he can say whatever the fuck he wants, but he should just know when he says dumb shit
there's
like that, there is consequence. Words have consequence.
Freedom of speech, not freedom from consequence.
I understand words have confidence. I just feel like if you just make a concession at a punch, who knows what else you're going to go to.
Well, I'm certainly
not trying
go
to
around.
Be a. I'm
yeah,
not trying
I don't,
to like,
I'm not gonna,
give you guys a hard
I'm
time.
Not,
I'm just. I don't know. I was just always taught like your words end at someone else's nose. You still there?
Keeping the record label afloat.
Wow.
Which is crazy and awesome.
My highlight of watching this coverage of this was, all right, they had Michael Moore on stage.
Which march was he at? The DC one?
I think he was at the New York one.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I really don't know which one he was at, but he actually was giving this great speech about like, okay, we're all aggravated and all this stuff, but what can we do?
Yeah.
Like politically.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I have 5 points. Politically, what we can do. One, if you want to change government, sign up and go into government, you know.
Yeah.
And two, and he's in the middle of two, and it's like, Ashley Judd is here. Okay. And she just, like, doesn't acknowledge him at all, and she walks on the stage.
Oh, he stops his
he
lift?
He stops, and she starts reading, like, Deaf Poetry Jam.
Oh,
she goes,
boy.
I have a poem here that a 19-year-old woman wrote. And it's about, like, you know, which look, I'm on your side, but this was a little bit, like,
you played
cringy.
Into the stereotype a little bit too much.
Yeah, like, I want to hear what Michael Moore was saying. Like, I feel
let
like that's valuable. I mean, he's a man at a woman's rally. I understand. Yeah. Seems like a little. But, I mean, he was. If a woman was saying the exact same thing, you know, it'd be.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like there was helpful information, and then she launches into this poem.
It's also sort of like that thing when, like, one comic is performing, and then, like, Jerry Seinfeld shows up and just cuts the set off. So he could do his.
It was exactly
like
that.
Let this guy finish his bit, and then you can do your bit. It's fine.
But here's what makes it worse. She kicks off Michael Moore.
Yeah.
She launches into this thing, and then she's like 2/3 into this poem, and Wolf Blitzer comes on, It's like, we have breaking news now. It appears that Scarlett Johansson is speaking at the other Fechachta rally. We cut away now to Scarlett Johansson, and then she starts talking about some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and they just kept, like, going to wherever the more sensational thing was.
Just celebrity chasing?
Like, you are not getting the fucking point. This is why Trump is the president in the first place. It's all this vapid fucking shit distracting from really, like, actual issues. And yet you cut off the guy that was talking about issues to go talk to Scarlett Johansson.
Well, that's
like,
CNN.
Yeah, but it's everywhere.
Yeah. But just the fact that so many people showed up is awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was so cool that more people showed up for
the I want to be clear. I'm not knocking the protest. I think the the fact that just whatever they were saying, the fact that that many people got together in one place is fantastic. And I love protesting in general. I actually even like breaking shit. Like, you want to throw a fucking brick through a Starbucks? If you get away with it, go fucking do it. Because this is like civil unrest. This is how you fucking change things. Like, I don't care. I am totally lean anarchist when it comes to that kind of thing. Because there's such a thing as righteous anger. You know what I mean?
But what does Starbucks have to do with it?
No, no, not that. Just that.
It's
got to
be.
That's
the
just
brick
what
has
happened.
To be aimed
to
at an actual
I thought that. I really thought that that. And I think those people weren't even there to protest. They were just quote-unquote anarchists there.
I agree. That's fine.
Shit.
But I don't – what I'm saying – all right, maybe I should rephrase that and walk that back. I don't think people should pick up bricks and find a Starbucks and all that. I just don't care. I don't care if a window breaks during this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It doesn't invalidate this to me.
Yeah.
And if you want to go break shit, I really don't – I'd prefer it to be more focused on what you need to be breaking. But I really don't care. Like, they try to paint this as this is some kind of black stain on – you know, this whole protest and look.
But the people that are against it are going to be against it regardless if there's violence or not.
Yes, but I've seen also like a lot of faux liberals saying like, oh, why can't we just why do we have to punch Nazis? There was a lot more like fucking liberals saying that than Republicans. I was like fucking shocked. Like Sarah Silverman was one.
She reined back
she
on it.
I didn't see you told me that. I didn't see her walk it back. I just saw her like
about the Nazi punching.
Yeah,
or the
Nazi punch. Why
that,
are we punching
you know,
Nazis?
Well, the argument is essentially like if you start violence, it's just going to create more violence. Like they're going to come back, and it'll violence begets
violence.
No, because they're all pussies who talk a big game because they assume liberals are too much pussies to ever fight back. And if you show that you will fight back, then they'll be scared because they're pussies.
Well, that's clearly the other argument. Yeah. Sure.
That's all.
Yep. Well, that.
But
was
I loved it. I loved all the remixes.
Yes. The Curb Your Enthusiasm one was the best.
The memeing of – oh, someone did that?
Yeah.
I mean,
the morning that the clip first showed up, I'm like, all right, this has to already have happened. And I Googled Richard Spencer punch Curb, and it was there's already – yeah, where he gets punched in the music. So perfect. delightful, that fucking asshole.
Did you see
and
also...
What a piece of shit. Like, what a total piece of shit.
I saw online, I guess, I don't know if it was 4chan or what, somebody, like, posted a thing where they researched who the guy was by, like, his eyes showed through the mask or something.
Okay.
And they found a picture of him, like, getting shit on as, like, a human toilet on the by a dominatrix or something.
Interesting.
And, like, this guy is literally a human toilet, but it wasn't true. Like, somebody did it to smear him. It's just funny that like, immediately they go, this guy.
Of course. Meanwhile, that was probably a picture of Sean Gresson's.
Oh.
Well, wasn't he a human toilet? Don't we have a drop of him saying something like that?
You have
proud of me. Was it Sean that punched Richard Spencer? No. Could it be?
He wishes.
What's interesting is
that was a human urinal.
There you go.
Like, I notice now that the far right, whenever there's something like this, they will create these gaslighting memes to – you know, like, discredit the story. Like, for example, when there was that side-by-side comparison of Obama's inauguration and Trump's inauguration from the same exact camera angle, it was very clear to anybody with even a slightly distorted vision that there were far, far more people at the Obama inauguration.
Right. And by the way, Trump made that worse than it was with his typical Trump hyper-tweeting about everything, because who cares? Like, does that make him a bad president? Like, he is a bad president, but does the size of the crowd make him a bad...
But for him, that's all it is. Ratings and numbers are the only thing.
So, the weird thing to me was that they started saying, like, oh, these are distorted photos, and it's like, this is the exact same angle. Where's the where's the perspective distortion?
Right. What I heard later in the day is not that the photo was distorted, but that they took the photo of Trump's thing when they were like filtering in still.
And that's bullshit because
I agree.
The whole point was it was photos at the exact same time.
Right.
The inauguration is at 12, so the photos were at 11:45 for both of them.
And
so,
then they said, oh, there's they covered part of the grounds because it was going to rain and they didn't let any people there.
Bullshit.
It's all bullshit. Yep. It's all bullshit. This is what Trump does. It's like he's already doing things to like curtail like the amount of like keep a cap on the amount of information that gets out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what's really worrying to me is like that's even though our media doesn't do shit already, they could have stopped Trump and didn't, but like they're going to be non-existent basically. Whatever little good they do, it's not going to be able to go anywhere. Like Trump's going to have a final clampdown on everything, and that's what worries me.
Yep.
Well, anyway.
I have a story to tell, not related to Trump. Oh. You want to stay on the Trump? Is there anything else we didn't
cover? Oh, no, I was going to just try to wrap up.
Oh, I just was very quick. Mm-hmm. My wife wrote to me and said, on the train with a homeless man jerking it right now.
Ooh.
Then she says, then a little time went by, and then she goes, update. It was just me and another woman in the car. He kept staring at me, and that's when I noticed what he was doing. We're pulling into Brighton slowly, of fucking course. So I moved to the other end, closer to the Russian woman sitting there, and I was standing so I could still see his reflection, and I saw that he finished right there and somehow had a paper towel to clean it all up. I'm traumatized.
Did she take a picture?
No, I don't.
Because you got to,
so.
And then you send it to Gothamist,
yeah,
and the cops get involved.
I think she'd be afraid that the guy would see it as an advance or something. I don't know.
If you're brazen enough to whack off on the subway, you probably don't care who's taking a picture.
Now, this is a great thing. This is for all of you, any Republicans that we still have out there listening to the show or inconsiderate fucks.
Right.
This is what feminists say when they mean male privilege.
Uh-huh.
When have any of us had to deal with a guy jerking off in their presence on a fucking train?
True. Well,
so you think if there was a single other guy on the train that he wouldn't have jerked off?
I've seen a guy like
this. I'm saying, though, that he wouldn't be looking you dead in the eye.
I know what you're getting at. I agree with you.
Like, chances of it happening to a woman are much
greater. I don't know that would make a difference to me, like, what he was looking at. If he was jerking off in front of me either way, it's pretty
horrible.
Can
I just say that I feel like I do feel like there is some privilege in the sense that a woman might actually be terrified that this guy would stop jerking it and jump on them.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas I wouldn't be terrified.
Right, exactly. That's good. That's kind of what
because
I mean.
You know that guys can't really function when they have a boner and they're already like jerking it off, right? They're like paralyzed.
Dave Chappelle has that whole bit about a homeless guy on the bus jerking off and shooting somebody in the head.
I don't know this.
It's
one.
From his most recent, I mean, it was probably 10 years ago, stand-up special, where he does this whole thing about how like the guy shot off a warning shot of sperm, and it was like the Matrix bullet covered out of it. And then some other guy got hit in the forehead, and that must have really ruined his day. It's hilarious. But yeah, so Dave Chappelle has witnessed something like that.
All right. Well, this is our show. We're gonna have a special episode next week. It's gonna be very special. We don't want to give too much away.
A snowflake of an episode.
And I want to remind everyone, please,
like us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Metal Injection Livecast. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/MILivecast.
We also have many fine T-shirts and cell phone cases.
Yes, we have a ton of designs. Go to metalinjection.net/livecast.
That's not part of the URL, by the way.
Metalinjection.net/livecast. And you can just hit the merch button and you see all of our designs. You can get them on shirts, hoodies, cups, phone cases, a lot of cool things you can get with the designs. And if you happen to live